Hello, I'm Al Head, Director of the Alabama State Council on the Arts, and I want to welcome you to Alabama Arts Radio Series. Each week we will be introducing you to some exceptional artists and other special people who make the arts happen in Alabama. This program will feature the visual, performing, and literary arts, as well as folk arts, which are so much a part of our state's rich cultural heritage. Alabama is the home of a wide range of gifted and creative people who make important contributions to our unique cultural environment. Each week, members of the council staff will be visiting with some of these special people and introducing you to some of our state's most valuable human resources.
In anticipation of the 14th annual Rotunda Singing to be held February 5th at the Alabama Department of Archives and History, we would like to rebroadcast this interview with Sacred Harp singers David Ivey and Tim Erickson. This is Joey Brackner with the Alabama State Council on the Arts, and I'm talking to David Ivey, a Sacred Harp singer from North Alabama. Hello, David.
Hello, Joey.
I was interested to find out that some recordings of Alabama Sacred Harp singers had been used in the film Cold Mountain. How did that come about?
Well, in the summer of 2002, Tim Erickson of Minneapolis, Minnesota, called me and asked if it'd be possible for us to get a few Sacred Harp singers together to drive up to Nashville to do a recording for a movie. I mentioned to him another option, an option of perhaps having the folks bring their recording equipment down to Henniger, to Liberty Baptist Church, and us getting more Southern traditional singers together there to do the recording. And he liked the idea and took it back to some of the movie folks, and they agreed to do that. So they came in with their recording equipment to Liberty Baptist Church there at Henniger in June of 2002, and we had a recording session.
Why do you think that the filmmakers were interested in having Sacred Harp music in the film to begin with?
I know that the script called for a church scene in which they had shape note singing. And I think some of the movie folks knew a little bit about Sacred Harp, had heard it, and knew a little bit about the sound. And so they tried to have as many true to the era things in the movie as they could. And it turned out that Tim Erickson, who also does other sorts of music, knew lots about Sacred Harp. He's been singing for a number of years. So he was able to sort of bridge them into our world of real Sacred Harp here in the South, I think, and get their interest.
Now, that must have been an interesting scene. I know that Sacred Harp singers are used to folklorists and even local TV people coming in and shooting some tape or recording. But to have a Hollywood-type outfit come in to record the music must have been interesting. Could you kind of describe how that went?
We really couldn't tell it was Hollywood. It was like other sorts of recordings that had been done in the past. They, of course, they had their equipment and the setup, and they also had video cameras that they wanted to use. But what we decided to do probably wasn't a typical recording session at all. We decided to set up and have a singing. So we pretty much just organized by parts and sat in a hollow square like we always do. And while the director had a couple of songs that they wanted us to do, what we did is just called leaders. So everyone who was there got a chance to stand up and call out their own tunes that they wanted to lead. And this worked real well because the movie folks, I don't think, had necessarily a predetermined idea about what they wanted to get out in terms of the song. So with having different leaders stand up and call their numbers, that gave them a real variety, I think, to listen to. And it turns out that the songs, I think, that they came there thinking they'd record were not the ones that I think they'll be using in the movie. They chose some others that were they liked from the singing that night.
Tell me a little bit more about that. What songs do you think they originally wanted to use, and what did they end up, you think, possibly using?
We worked that night on a couple of songs. One is on page 442 in our book, and we did work on it quite a bit because they wanted to have it as an option. And we also worked on a song on page 282, and it's called I'm Going Home. And it is one that they will be using. The scene in the movie that they wanted to use this with is one in which word comes to the church service that the Civil War has broken out. So the church is in session, and someone comes to the church and lets them know that news, and so folks are alarmed by it and start to leave the church service as this. So the effect they wanted with the music was to have a full group singing, but then to have folks drop out of the singing during the song. So actually people were so alarmed they left during the song, I suppose. I hope that if this stays in the movie, that's what you'll be able to hear when you get there. Now, I think they've also included some of the voices from the actors, you know, with our voices, so that will also be a different take that will be interesting.
Now, we need to make sure that the listeners understand that when they came to Liberty Church, they didn't bring cameras with them. So you're not going to see Alabama singers singing these songs. What is your understanding of how they're going to handle that in the movie?
Yeah, there will not be video of us in the movie, of course. We think that there might be some video of the recording session on the DVD and some of the extra supplemental material they have, for one thing. But they'll be using the sound, and they recorded a large part of this movie, I understand, in Romania, and had folks come into a church that they put together that's about the size of Liberty, in fact. Those will be the people, the folks they recruited in for that will be the ones who will appear to be singing on the screen, but it'll be the voices from Henniger, Alabama, that you'll actually be hearing in that scene.
Oh, that's great. Well, we appreciate you sharing some of those stories with us, David Ivey.
Thank you.
This is Joey Brackner with the Alabama State Council on the Arts, and I'm talking with Tim Erickson of Minnesota. Hello, Tim.
Hi, Joey.
Thanks for joining us today. I want to talk about the upcoming Miramax film release of Cold Mountain, and specifically the soundtrack. Could you tell us a little bit about Cold Mountain and the film?
Cold Mountain is an adaptation of the Charles Frazier novel that was a bestseller, I guess it came out in 97. And it's a Civil War era story about a Confederate soldier who goes AWOL and is sort of fed up with the whole violence and carnage that he's seen, and is trying to get home to his sweetheart, who's back in western North Carolina on Cold Mountain, where he comes from. And along the way, he it's sort of an odyssey story. He meets up with a lot of interesting people on the way.
I know that the filmmakers have paid special attention to the soundtrack. Could you talk a little bit about why they paid special attention to the soundtrack and perhaps some of the individuals involved in that part of the film?
Yeah, it's an interesting bunch of people involved with the soundtrack. I suspect that people making the film saw an opportunity here to do something interesting, to follow on from the success that O Brother, Where Art Thou had, and sort of take it up a notch and to do some music that is both historically appropriate, by and large, and also really interesting and something they thought would be good for the movie and also, you know, sort of a selling point, I think. There are a number of the same people involved who did the O Brother, Where Art Thou soundtrack. T-Bone Burnett is the music director. Ralph Stanley had a hand in it. Stuart Duncan, Norman Blake. And then there are a bunch of us newcomers, so to speak. Riley Bogus, myself, Dirk Powell, Tim O'Brien. And, of course, the Sacred Harp singing, which is really, that's not what I got hired for, but that's been my sort of biggest interest in the whole project. One of the things that's amazing, just talking about historical music or films depicting historical eras, it's really amazing that there have been so many films made about the Civil War, even the Revolutionary War, but nobody's sort of figured out that, wow, there's this really amazing American music tradition that we could employ there that really captures something of the spirit of the country and the time. I think it's interesting that it took an English person, the director Anthony Minghella, to really get excited about Sacred Harp singing for the first time that I am aware of that it's been featured prominently in a film.
Well, now you've brought us around to the Alabama angle of all of this. This is the radio show about Alabama art. You obviously were involved in making sure that Sacred Harp singing is part of the soundtrack. But before we talk about that, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and what your connection is to Sacred Harp, and in particular, Alabama Sacred Harp?
Yeah, I guess I'm a musician. I don't have any other kind of gainful employment, so I guess I must be a musician. And I've been playing all kinds of stuff and singing all kinds of things my whole life. And I still do other kinds of music. I've been involved in various kinds of rock music and kind of, I don't know, traditional American songs. I had multiple encounters with Sacred Harp over the years through recordings and through this and that, through the, you know, the bicentennial when I was a kid. At some point, I started singing with some friends of mine who were also just interested in singing and looking for things to sing together. My friend Kelly found a copy of the Sacred Harp in the library, and we started singing together, and it sort of very slowly grew into something bigger than what it started out to be, where we just, like, hey, here's some good stuff to sing. There's a number of friends, actually, that I knew from college. I went to Amherst College in Massachusetts. The way that I really started singing Sacred Harp was one winter when these friends of mine had a house out in the country in Western Mass and didn't have any TV. It was a cold winter that winter. A couple of friends decided, well, hey, let's just start singing. And more, every time we got together to sing, it was oriented around the Sacred Harp. Eventually, we figured out that there were other people that did this, that we weren't just sort of binding some book in the library, that this is actually a living thing, a breathing thing. Very shortly thereafter, we made our first trip to Alabama to sing with people who've been doing it their whole lives and whose parents and grandparents did it for their whole lives. It was a very natural thing. Once I got the call to be involved with this film, I was originally hired to be the voice of one of the characters, the singing voice of this character, Stobrod. But in reading the script, I saw that there was something that in the screenplay was called shape singing, which I figured, well, that's got to be Sacred Harp or shape note singing. And in talking with the people who were making the movie, it turned out that, yeah, that's what it was. The director, Anthony Minghella, had heard a recording of the song Logan out of the Sacred Harp and was really struck by it. They had a plan to have a little bit of this music coming out of a church in one scene. I asked more about it. They said that the idea was to get a choir in Nashville to record it. And I said, well, hey, why don't we just actually get Sacred Harp singers? They all know every song in the book, and it'll just be a much better thing. What my role was, I mean, not to make my role look too big, my role was basically just encouraging them to come down to Sand Mountain to record. Rod Ivey and David and those folks down there around Henniger did a tremendous job in rallying some singers there to come out for this recording session. I got some folks in from other places as well. I wanted to have representation from different parts of the country. It was very important to me, and I think to the movie, that the core of the singers really be people who were lifelong singers who just devoted to it and loved it. That, to me, was going to be the ideal sound, and also just seemed like made the most sense.
I find it very interesting that it's not my impression that Hollywood production is that easily influenced, especially by someone they're bringing in for some specific, you know, role like yourself. Were you kind of surprised that you were able to turn their thinking on this aspect of the soundtrack?
I was surprised that Anthony and T-Bone and people were so anxious or so willing to trust me on this. I think that this is not the standard Hollywood movie. In some ways, of course, it's a big production, but I think that both Anthony Minghella and T-Bone Burnett, they were interested in getting something beautiful and something real. To their credit, I think that when I said, hey, if we drive 3 hours south of here, we can get real Sacred Harp singing rather than me trying to sort of give my impression to a bunch of Nashville singers, that would be just great. To their credit, they said, okay, yeah, let's go for it and see. We just had a wonderful singing. It was on a Friday night. We only had about 2 hours, which I think was a little nerve-wracking for some folks, because the usual studio thing is that you go into the studio and you spend a day and maybe you get a song or two if you're lucky. We sang for about 2 hours in Henniger and we got about 25 songs. Beautifully sung. So they were very, very impressed, I think.
Could you tell me a little bit about the singing and how those songs were selected? And did you have some preconceived notion about what the kind of songs that might work in this film?
What I had to go on was the fact that Anthony Minghella had heard this recording of Logan, and I pointed out that that was a modern song. I think that it's hard for a lot of people to realize that Sacred Harp singing is a going concern. It's a lively thing, a vital thing, that there are new songs being written all the time, and that every edition of the Sacred Harp since 1844, the first edition, has included songs written or arranged by living composers. The thing that I did was, at the recording, I said, I've realized over time from doing recordings and just being involved in Sacred Harp singing that the best thing to do is just let the singing take its course and let people decide what they want to sing, because it's a kind of an organic thing, I guess you could say, that people know what sounds best. If somebody just led, you know, a particular song, maybe you want to lead something that sounds like it or that sounds very dissimilar to it, whatever the class is in the mood for, you kind of get a sense of that. So what I did at the beginning of the recording was I said, here's what Anthony heard and liked was Logan. Now, that's a modern song, so it wouldn't be historically appropriate for the movie, but here are some other songs that I thought of that sound kind of like it that might work. So we led a bunch of those, just a whole bunch of other things that people just felt like singing. It was, by and large, it was a regular singing, although it was a little different because I was kind of sticking my nose in and saying what I thought a little more than, you know, than you'd have at a regular singing.
Well, Tim, let's play a little bit of Logan for our listeners.
The Alabama Arts Radio Series is presented to you by the Alabama State Council on the Arts in cooperation with Troy University Radio. The Council is the official state arts agency in Alabama with a mandate to support the broadest range of artistic resources throughout the state. The Council emphasizes educational programs that reach students of all ages and works to provide all sectors of the population with access to quality arts experiences. For information about the Council's grant programs and various forms of technical assistance, call area code 334-242-4076 or visit our website at arts.alabama.gov.
We're back now speaking with Tim Erickson about Alabama Sacred Heart music in the movie Cold Mountain. Could you tell us which songs and perhaps how they fit into the film?
Yeah, the two songs that are in Cold Mountain featured prominently are 47 on the Bottom, which is Idumea, and 282, I'm Going Home. The way that it worked in the recording was that we just sang, and Anthony, the director, was there and listening and sort of decided what it was that he liked the best out of the night. And again, to his credit, he recognized that there were a couple of songs that really stood out that were just especially beautiful that night. There were a lot that were really beautiful. The song 47 Bottom was one that there was, I suppose, a bit of serendipity that it actually sounded so good that night because we had just recorded it. They actually asked me to do a solo version of that song. There are a couple of reasons for that. One is that I just love that song and thought it would be very appropriate for the time and for the story. And I sort of worked on them a little bit on that angle. But also, Anthony had heard a version of Doc Watson singing that tune solo. So he asked me to do that. Part of the reason is that the preacher, Monroe, who's one of the main characters in the film, part of his thought process is that he's kind of torn up about the idea of being born to die and how does he stand, where does he stand on that issue? Are we really born to die? And that figures a little bit in the screenplay, at least as I read it. The text, and Am I Born to Die, just kind of works with the theme of the book and the movie, and serendipitously just was one of the most beautiful songs that we sang that night.
Well, why don't we listen just to a little bit of Idumea?
Oh,
And the other song that's featured, I'm Going Home, could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, there's 500 and some odd pages of incredibly beautiful music in the Sacred Harp, so it's hard to sometimes to single out things, but I'm Going Home is also a wonderful song, very different in character from Idumea. It also concerns this issue of being born to die and what that means. But I think the reason that Anthony chose that song for the movie was that it was so lively when we sang it. It was just so beautiful. It features probably most prominently in the film. That's the song that's actually used in a scene that depicts a sacred harp singing. You know, you hear the song as we recorded it in Henniger, but also see the actors, I would say mouthing, but they actually were singing the song. So,
I know Idumea is a minor tune. Is I'm Going Home also a minor tune?
I'm Going Home is a major tune. It's a very exuberant kind of sound, whereas Idumea is certainly much more pensive. They're both intense in their own ways and wonderful, but I'm Going Home is a very sort of exciting, exuberant song.
Well, let's listen to a bit of I'm Going Home. Now, you alluded to the fact that there are people in the film, obviously the scene was not filmed in Henniger, there are people in the film who appear to be singing the music that was recorded in Henniger. Could you just speak briefly about that?
I wish we could have filmed in Henniger or somewhere. Any of these Sacred Harp singing strongholds would have just been a wonderful thing to do, to get actual singers there. I think it would have been a beautiful thing for people to see. But they filmed most of the movie in Romania, for various reasons, partially financial, I think, and also just the fact that a lot of the movie is exterior. It happens outside, and there are so many planes overhead and phone lines and everything in the United States. And Romania, there's really none of that. It also looks kind of strangely like the Western Blue Ridge, this part of Transylvania where they filmed. So they asked me to come over there with my wife, and of course we had to bring our son, to come over and help the actors and this choir of 50 Romanians that they had dug up to learn to sing Sacred Harp. And that was a lot of fun. It was one of the stranger places and contexts in which to sing Sacred Harp, but it was good. I think both the choir of Romanians and the bunch of actors that were involved really seemed to take to it and appreciated the sound and the spirit of the music, and though it was unfamiliar, they seemed to get the fact that it was really a wonderful thing.
Well, Tim, we appreciate you talking with us.
Thanks. We appreciate your work up here as well. We really I initially called you all because of your the wonderful work that you did on the Lloyd's Primitive Hymns book and recording. It's much appreciated, even beyond the boundaries of Alabama, the work you're doing down there.
Well, thank you. I'm Joey Brackner.
This program was brought to you by the Alabama State Council on the Arts and the Alabama Center for Traditional Culture. Technical production by Steve Grauberger. All radio programs can be heard online at alabamaartsradio.com. Series theme music, The Bounds of Beauty, was composed and performed by Scooter Muse.